Macmillan Audio presents Florence Foster Jenkins, The Inspiring Story of the World's Worst Singer by Nicholas Martin and Jasper Rees. Read for you by Catherine Kelgren.
Prologue. On the evening of Wednesday, October 25th, 1944, 2,000 people were shut out of Carnegie Hall. Crowded onto the New York City sidewalk, some waved $20 bills in an effort to persuade their way in, even though the most expensive tickets, long since sold out, officially cost $3. They could only watch as Cole Porter walked through the doors of the most hallowed concert hall in America, there to be joined by the superstar soprano Lily Pons and the queen of burlesque, Gypsy Rose Lee. Some say they saw Tallulah Bankhead swan in, too. The old hall also swarmed with journalists, eager to witness a phenomenon. The night before, Frank Sinatra was on the same stage at an election rally in support of President F.D. Roosevelt. The night after, the New York Philharmonic Orchestra performed under the baton of Artur Rozhinsky. But on October 25th, it was the turn of Florence Foster Jenkins, a sizable woman of 76 who had recently released a series of recordings. It was these, including her versions of Mozart's Queen of the Night aria and Delibes' Indian Bell Song, which created such a feverish thirst to be there. The evening has no real right to be remembered on so important a day in the history of the world. October 25th, 1944 is such a pivotal date that there's a whole book about it, One Day in a Very Long War by John Ellis. In the Philippines, the Battle of Leyte Gulf became the largest naval conflict in history, in which, for the first time, the Imperial Japanese Navy deployed kamikaze suicide bombers against U.S. warships. In Europe, the last Romanian city under German occupation was liberated by Romanian and Soviet forces, who also pushed the Wehrmacht from their Norwegian base in Kirkenes, while Bomber Command and the U.S. Air Force took part in daylight raids against Essen, Hamburg, and Hamburg. Meanwhile, back in New York, the cover of the recital program featured a photograph of a stately lady wearing, over short permed brown hair, a tiara with a diadem mounted in the center. A heavy necklace plunged past her low neckline toward two tentatively clasped hands. On her left hand was a thumb ring. Her eyes were beady and her jaw firm. On the mid-blue background and under black capitals blazing her name were the words Coloratura Soprano. Inside the program, bona fides advertised of previous triumphs. Madame Jenkins, as she liked to be known, possesses a marked individuality in style and piquancy in her interpretations, so reported the New York Journal American. A Dr. B.B. James, publication unattributed, confirmed that a recent audience in the federal capital included persons in the political, cultural, and intellectual society of Washington, all of them critically minded hearers. The New York Daily Mirror hailed a personage of authority and indescribable charm, whose annual recitals bring unbounded joy. These notices were in accordance with more or less everything that had ever been written about Lady Florence, another of her preferred modes of address. She had been singing to select audiences since the 1910s, mostly in the protected world of the women's clubs, which flourished in great profusion in New York City from the turn of the century.